From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, he brings the final portion of a message called The Persecution of the Saints, The Dispersion of the Gospel. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon. Our text for this morning is found in the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 15 and verse 2. Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? These words are for the humbling of God's people. They are called God's vine. But what are they by nature more than others? They, by God's goodness, have become fruitful, having been planted in a good soil. The Lord hath trained them upon the walls of the sanctuary, and they bring forth fruit to his glory. But what are they without their God? What are they without the continual influence of the Spirit begetting fruitfulness in them? O believer, learn to reject pride, seeing that thou hast no ground for it. Whatever thou art, thou hast nothing to make thee proud. The more thou hast, the more thou art in debt to God, and thou shouldst not be proud of that which renders thee a debtor. Consider thine origin. Look back to what thou wast. Consider what thou wouldst have been but for divine grace. Look upon thyself as thou art now. Doth not thy conscience reproach thee? Do not thy thousand wanderings stand before thee, and tell thee that thou art unworthy to be called his son? And if he made thee anything, art thou not taught thereby that it is grace which hath made thee to differ? Great believer, thou wouldst have been a great sinner if God had not made thee to differ. O thou who art valiant for the truth, thou wouldst have been as valiant for error if grace had not laid hold upon thee. Therefore be not proud, though thou hast a large estate, a wide domain of grace. Thou hast not one single thing to call thine own except thy sin and misery. O strange infatuation, that thou, who hast borrowed everything, shouldst think of exalting thyself, a poor dependent pensioner upon the bounty of thy Savior, one who hath a life which dies without fresh streams of life from Jesus, and yet proud? Fie on thee, O silly heart!
As I seek your guidance for the day, I find my thoughts unyielding, confusion crowds my way. But then when I bow to you, the challenges you guide me through, your promises are ever new, I claim them for today. I still will find you there. Each new day's design is charted by your hand, and gracious master plan. Keep my footsteps faithful when from you I go. Return me to the joy that your blessings can bestow.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. Thank you. Chapter 8 of the book of Acts records the increasing intensity of the persecution against the followers of Christ. In addition to the Sadducees and Pharisees, the people now joined the opposition to the gospel. Except for the apostles, many of the believers fled from Jerusalem, and it appeared that Satan was enjoying a great victory. However, rather than hiding in fear, those early Christians preached the gospel of Christ wherever they went. As Dr. Cairns has pointed out, the devil's scheme backfired because many people came to faith in Christ through the witness of those who were scattered abroad. Although the believers lamented the loss of Stephen, they zealously carried the gospel throughout the then-known world. Of primary importance is the subject of their witnessing. They preached Christ, his glorious person and work, which is the heart of the gospel. In addition, these people preached with power. Regardless of their ability or lack of it, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the secret of a ministry that brings souls to Christ and builds up believers. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message entitled, The Persecution of the Saints, the Dispersion of the Gospel.
I'm happy for any man to examine my ministry in the light of God's Word. And furthermore, I would pray for the grace that the early Methodists sought to cultivate. The grace to accept honest, biblical, constructive criticism given in the spirit of love and of Christ, so that what's not right can be put right and we can be ever more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter came and examined the work with John, and I think you'll see that he was welcomed there. Now, on a practical level, we read verse 12, the Samaritans believed. That means, according to John 3:18 and a host of other verses, they were saved. Because when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. But very evidently, they needed the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a lesson for every Christian. It's good to be saved. It's the best thing in the world to be saved. But my friend, when you're saved, if you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. How often we overlook this. How often we make the fullness of the Holy Ghost to be what the Scripture does not make it to be. How often we excuse our lack of power. And we can put it down to many, many reasons. Now, that's the easy thing to do. It's something that we all do. But my friend, when we actually get down to the truth of the matter, when we begin to examine the Bible and begin to examine ourselves, we look at our hearts, we say, yes, we believe, yes, we're saved, but we do not have the power that we ought to have. There's something missing. It humbles our heart. It ought to. My friend, there's one thing that we lack. One thing this church lacks. And to a large extent, one thing this preacher lacks. And that is the kind of power they had in the early church. Many churches have come up with a plausible substitute. It's possible to organize and grow big. It's possible to take certain lines in preaching and grow popular. From the moment I came to this church, I told you quite honestly, if that's the only way for this church to grow, it will never grow. For I'm not interested in it. For it's just like a big balloon, and it's going to burst one of these days. But there is real power. There is real power for the believer. There is real power for the church. There is real power for preaching and for witnessing. Oh, that we would have an appetite, a yearning for that power. And if this message does nothing else for God's people this morning, but to send them to their knees to cry, Lord, do not leave me short of the fullness of the Holy Ghost, then it will have succeeded more than I have ever dreamed. My friend, let's not become used to impotence. Let's not settle down into powerlessness. Let's not get to the place where we just accept something less than God's best. The Holy Ghost is a real person. The infilling of the Holy Ghost is a reality. The power of the Holy Ghost is a reality. Oh, may we get to the Lord today and cry to Him until He hears us and until He fills us with the Spirit. Just a word of caution, though. We find that Simon the sorcerer, who had believed, when he looked and saw the apostles lay their hands on the people so that they received the Holy Ghost, he wanted to have the same power. And he offered money to buy it. Let's learn from that. And from Peter's answer. First, that the power of the Holy Ghost cannot be bought. And second, that it must be sought from pure and spiritual motives. If you're seeking the power of the Holy Ghost, that you might be something, that you might have a particular experience, my friend, God will not be answering. But oh, if you're seeking the power of the Holy Ghost out of a sincere and earnest desire that you might be nothing and that Christ may be all in all, and that the cause of the Savior may be extended and souls may be converted unto Him, then thank God, God will hear and God will answer prayer. Just one final remark. Peter opposed Simon the sorcerer and his false desires after power. He opposed him most vehemently. In fact, he uses very strong words. He says, "Thy money perish with thee." He says, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right with God." He says, "I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." That's strong language. But I want you to notice also that with his withering denunciation of Simon the sorcerer and his furious seeking after power, Peter, first of all, demonstrated the true power of God, and he sought to bring Simon to true repentance. And I believe he did. Now, there's a lesson there for us. There are many spurious seekers after spiritual power today. There are many spurious experiences that are supposed to be experiences of the Holy Ghost. We have mentioned the charismatic delusion. Now, first of all, what is our attitude to be? We are to be against it. And I am against it. 100%. We allow no charismatic influence whatsoever to get its way into the free church. And any member who at any time is found to be tainted with it will be immediately brought under discipline, because this is a cancer that curses churches and brings them down. We're against it, for it's not of God. I can prove that, I think, very easily from the Scriptures. It's not of God. But it's not enough for us to be against it. Not enough. We ought to have the true power of God. That's the best answer to the counterfeit, to have the true power of God. The tragedy today is that there are so many people, and they are confronting and opposing the heresy of the charismatics, but they don't have the real power of God to put in its place. I have a niece. And when she was saved, went back down to Miami to finish her education. She sought out the chaplain in the university. He was a godless, useless character. He was no use to her. She had big problems. She needed help from the Word of God. She got none. She went round various churches, evangelicals, Baptists, whatever you have. She went round them. She got no help, no fellowship, no preaching. You know the only people who showed her any consideration, any love for her soul, any desire to sit down and open a Bible, were the charismatics. Now, they were wrong in many of the notions they had about the Bible, and they were totally wrong in their so-called experience of the Holy Ghost. But my friend, they put so many of those who ought to have known better to shame. Put them to shame. We ought not merely to be opposing, we ought to be giving the real picture. We ought to have real power. I always remember what I was told about a preacher back home. And in his church he had some people who believed in the doctrine of the second blessing. I don't know if that has gained much place over here. It's a strange mixture of the doctrine of sanctification and the doctrine of the fullness of the Spirit. And in its wild forms, it's way, way off. In its mild forms, it really isn't of very great consequence. But in his church, there were some people who believed this, and there was one man in particular. And it wouldn't matter what you called what this man's experience was. He loved the Lord, and he really had power with God. And everybody who knew him knew that he had power with God. When he prayed, God heard him. When he preached, people heard him. Or when he witnessed. So he had power. But his minister didn't like the sound of this second blessing. And so he thumped it and he hammered it. And he knocked it down and he criticized it and he opposed it. There's only one thing wrong. He had nothing to put in its place. He had nothing to put in its place. My friend, it's one thing to oppose. We ought to do that. But never you get in your perch and start squawking at the charismatics and the Pentecostalists and all the rest of it and think you've done a good job until you have the real, spiritual, scriptural infilling of the Holy Ghost. Why, that's our need. May the Lord graciously grant it to us today. May he give us a burden for the lost. You'll see how the section commenced with a burden to go and reach the lost. You'll see how it ends with the doctrine of the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Those two things go together. One produces the other in many ways. Have a burden, and God will give you the power to fulfill it. Have power, and you'll go to win the lost for Christ. May God grant us, indeed, these twin operations of His Spirit within our heart, and make us soul winners for the glory of His name. Let's bow in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless Thy word to our hearts. It's been preached in human weakness, but oh, we pray that it will be applied in mighty Spirit-given power. Lord, save souls. Save souls from being further ensnared by the devil. Save souls from being like those ancient Jews who rejected the very word of life and so condemned themselves to eternal death. O Lord, save the lost today. Grant that without a moment's delay, they will come to Christ. We ask, Lord, that even after this meeting, we'll have the joy of kneeling with some man or woman or young person and pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, bless Thy people. Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Make us strong in our opposition to every counterfeit movement and every spurious experience But, O God, grant that with our opposition to the counterfeit, we may have the experience of the true outpouring of the Spirit, and that we ourselves may be filled with all the fullness of God. Lord, give us a burden for the lost. Enable us to preach Christ. Make this a church which presents Christ to a world that's lost. Lord, help us never to get off on a tangent. Help us never, O God, to go off the center track of preaching Christ. Lord, enable us, we pray, always to stay with this great central message of the gospel, Christ and Him crucified. Lord, bless Thy word to our hearts, we pray. Part us with Thy blessing. Produce fruit in our hearts, even this day, for our time around the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.